World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
I'm feeling a little bit self-important here this morning. Is it okay for me to say that? Day after Labor Day when everybody didn't work to celebrate working. I'm feeling a little bit self-important today. Been doing some research, getting ready for today's show, which I do every day. And sometimes my wife says to me, honey, you ever get off the computer? And I said, this is my job. And that's the way I don't get on the computer just to get on the go fishing and swim. I don't do that. I'm consumed with consuming evidence to present to people exactly what's going on. And I had a thought today. This God willing, this footprint needs to expand. Now, it doesn't need to expand because my ego, I need more viewers. If I were to ask you right now, don't do this. If I were to ask you right now, any time in the last 2 weeks, that would be 10 shows. And I would ask you out there, raise your hand if at least one of those 10 shows opened your eyes to something you'd never seen before. I think every one of you would raise your hand, wouldn't you? Every one of you raise your hand, say, you know, not all 10, but one of the 10, maybe one of the 10. Say, wow, that was really, I never knew that. Wow, I never knew that. And to understand that Bible tells us, well, maybe not the Bible doesn't say it, I guess, but knowledge is power. Knowledge is power. And the more you know, the more powerful you are. And we're dealing with a group of people who, for the most part, have been programmed. I'm going to get into that today. They've been programmed, don't even know they've been programmed. And as a result of the programming, they can't even recognize the truth anymore. We have a whole, I don't know what the percentages would be, but excuse me, we have a whole cadre of American Christians who are accepting of transgenderism. You do know that, don't you? Tell me you know that. Tell me that you know that if somebody would come into your church that was transgendered, your church would open them with open arms. Oh, we're supposed to love them. We're supposed to love them. Well, the Bible says have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. And so the propaganda is so deep. I'm going to try to explain to you today why the propaganda is so deep. Let me show you just a real briefie of what I think some of you ought to do, okay? Now, don't do this. Folks, please understand, it's not about promoting me. Hey, Spencer, pull up that one that says Coach in West Virginia. Now, here's what I would suggest all of you begin to do. If you have a segment of, you want to impact others, don't you? Do you want to impact others? So when you watch Coach Dave live, and after it's over, and like all day, you biting your finger thinking about, gosh darn, I never thought about that. God, they really are doing that. And all of a sudden, a revelation comes to you. Has it ever dawned on you? I don't want to sound condescending. Have you ever taken that show and to one of your friends say, hey, check this out at the 2 minute, 28 minute mark to the 3 minute, 12 minute mark? Rather than sending them a whole show and telling them to watch, sometimes you can give them just little tidbits. Say, so you email them, you find it, the show's over, you go to Coach Dave, you get a clip, and something that was really good in that clip, maybe it's 3 minutes long, you say to your friends, hey, I was watching this today. Watch this 3 minute clip for me, will you? Tell me what you think. Rather than telling them, you've got to watch this, oh, you got to follow Coach Dave. That doesn't work, friends. That doesn't work. Take a segment of it. and say, wow, what do you think about this? Engage them rather than just tell. See, when you send them a clip and you say, watch this and then get back to me, they have a kind of a responsibility then, don't they? They got to look at it. And when you wait a day and they didn't get back, say, hey, did you watch that? What do you think of that? Because that's the only way that we're going to open the eyes of those around us. I'm going to give you a topic today. I'm like, how many of you yesterday about fell over when you got the truth on Sherman's March to the Sea? Was anybody shocked by that? I said, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. We supported rape and plundering and murdering of innocent people. I never knew that. You can raise your hand and say, yeah, that was me. How many other people never knew that? And so you say to somebody, I can't believe what I saw today. Could you watch this 5-minute segment and tell me what you think? That's the way you begin to do it. We're trying to give them the whole big blob, and they don't want to turn on watching that. They don't want to do that. But a little bit will hook them. Will hook them. Nothing. I never thought of that. So yesterday, I want you to see this real quick. This is really, really short. Now, look, I'm not telling you, I'm not bragging on me. I'm not telling you much. So this is, when we went down to West Virginia last week, and JR and I, they taped. We're in an outdoor picnic shelter, and they taped it. And I took about 2.5 minutes. And so here's what I would encourage you to do. Take a 2.5-minute segment and send it to your friends. Say, what do you think of this? What do you think? Go ahead and play that real quick, Spence. This is I spoke for about 2.5 minutes. That's all. Just all. Don't say you got to watch this, Coach Dave. He's wonderful. No. Just say, tell me what you think about this. What do you think of this? And then they're obligated to get back to you. That's how we. I'm going somewhere today. Go ahead and play it real quick. 2 minutes, I think it is.
The next speaker, a guy I met 25 years ago. He got fired from a job as a coach at a high school for praying on the
field. I didn't get fired.
He took it to court and had a good battle out of it. And I interviewed on the radio show when I first started. I started almost 32 years ago.
That's Butch Paul, PastorBooks.com.
Coach Dave Dubbin, our good guy, really good guy. Speak to us a little bit and share some of his thoughts. Now, he's very bashful, so give him a hand.
Okay, you can start right now. 2.5-minute segment.
Excuse me, I won't be long. I appreciate all of you. It says a lot about you that you come out and sit down here in the heat and listen to a bunch of clunkers like us, really, right? You realize we're in a mess, aren't we? We're really, really in a mess. And everything the governor just said, wherever he went, I agree with everything he said. But we got to come to the realization that the only way that we're going to turn this whole mess around, number one, is the acknowledgement as Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If we don't get our morality straight, we're not going anywhere. And I don't know what you guys think. The longer I've been in this game, the more I understand that the Republicans are frauds. Anybody with me on that?
Yeah.
My wife, give me an amen. Huh? Republicans are frauds, right? I got J6 buddies locked up. I got guys locked up in jail. J6, Republicans aren't doing anything to get them out. You know that, right?
Right.
You know that all across the fruited plain, they've been telling us all this insurrection, this armed insurrection went on in Washington, D.C. Well, we were there. There was no armed insurrection. Not one person was charged with a weapon. Not one person charged. It's all been lies. And so we sit back. They keep us in what I like to call silos, or one of my friends, Mel, calls silos, meaning everybody has their own issue. And they're good, just issues. My wife and I, abortion is a big issue for us. Homosexuality is a big issue for us. I mean, on and on and on. But I remember when I first got involved back in 2010, I went to a tea party meeting. You guys remember those tea party meetings? Shake your head so I can see somebody's awake in here. Huh? Yeah, you remember the tea party meetings, right? And I'd get in there and I'd rant and rave like a coach, which is what I am. And I would tell them, listen, if we don't bring morality back, if we don't get the truth back in there, I don't care who's elected, I don't care what's going on. And see, they were all worried about their Social Security and their 401ks and their 507bs. They were worried about them, right? And I'd get done speaking, and the guy'd come up to me afterwards, Pastor Butch, and they'd say, man, wow, Coach, you're a coach. Would you come and speak to our group? And I said, sure, I'd love to come and speak with your group. But JR, you know what they would say to me? Could you tone down that religion a little bit? You know I'm telling you the truth, right? You do know there's a difference between a Christian and a conservative. You understand they're not the same thing? They're not the same thing. Lindsey Graham's a conservative. Right? Come on. So let's wake it up and understand what's really been going on around us. You understand it in the Republican Party. I'm only going
to
be about...
Okay, you can cut it off. You guys didn't tune in to watch it. But folks, little clips like this can awaken people, right? And so what you do is you send them a little clip, maybe not this one. I mean, say, what do you think? Get their reaction to it. Rather than cramming 10 whole long videos, they ain't going to watch it. You got to hook them. You got to throw a bait out there. You got to throw a worm out. And I would just encourage you that as you're watching this show, when it was a really, really good segment, man, note it. And go back later and get the recording and send it to a few people. Say, man, listen to this. Listen to this 2 minutes and tell me what you think. That's the way we begin to inoculate them, indoctrinate them. Okay? Cool. Big news. Couple things going on here. Anybody have a comment on that? I mean, I don't mean you don't have to comment. You understand what I'm saying? Folks, we got to wake up more people. We have to wake up more people. They are so, so blind to what's going on because they're watching Fox News. Are you kidding me? They're not hearing it in their churches. They're not hearing it anywhere. And rather than they're not looking for one more guy to follow, tell them, hey, listen to this. Tell me what you think. It's only 2 minutes. Just tell me what you think. And if you have that segment marked, say, start at the 3 minute and 18 minute mark and just watch for 2 minutes and let me know what you think. That's the way we become Johnny Appleseed. Glenn, come on in.
Yeah, I mean, I've had, I've had guys tell me, hey, you know, appreciate what you sent me, but, that thing is too long to listen to.
That's
you
right.
You know, I wish there was a way that we could highlight almost like a TikTok video where we could highlight a 2 or 3 minute part of an episode, something that you said that was poignant, and we could capture that and then use that to send out. I don't know.
Well, in fairness to Spencer and those guys, they were trying to do that. And I said, hey guys, stop doing that because it was costing me too much money. Just tell me the truth.
Yeah.
Because they would have to take it and produce it, and then all of a sudden I got $70 invested in a TikTok video. Although I think what you're saying makes perfect sense, right? Spencer, is that true? I'm not trying to sound like I'm sucking on my thumb. It takes money to produce these things, right? And so that was a budget cut for me. I said, you know, got anywhere $75 to do that. I'm $75 three or four days a week, man. That's a lot. No, I ain't worth it. So I'm with you, Glenn. I'm with you. that's really the issue. But you guys can do the little clips yourself, I think. Vinny.
So I mentioned if you look up in Webster's 1828, look up the definition of fine. Now, what's a fine? A fine is a payment to allow bad behavior.
Fine is a payment to change bad behavior. Gotcha. Your point being what, Vinny?
Well, in society, we have rules so that we can all live together.
Right.
So when you get the indulgence, Keith mentioned indulgences in the chat.
Right.
An indulgence is a payment so that you can commit bad behavior.
That's all it is.
Right. Otherwise, it wouldn't be allowed.
Well, I'm going to get into some of that here.
Thank you.
Hang on with me. Amen. Amen. Joe Allen?
Thing I use a lot in there. I use not only your video but your newsletters. When they come out, they're I send them off quick.
I think that's good too. That's good, folks. I don't know about you guys. I'm so busy. Somebody sends me a video. I look first. What's the first thing you look at when somebody sends you a video to watch? What's the first thing you look at it? How long it is. And if you say to people, just watch this 2 minutes. Watch this 2 minutes right here. Then they're more, then they're, I do, I'll do that. Say, oh, okay. And then you know what happens? Then it hooks them. I'm heading someplace. Stay with me today. We're making a difference. Pull up number one real quick here. No, that's not number one. Voting. Should say voting. Dispatch. Well, look at, hey. Maybe a little bit of, we've created a wake. Ohio Secretary of State Frank LaRose floats a ban on ballot drop boxes after lawsuit loss. What? Is he being forced? Has Dr. Corsi forced him to do something here? By the way, we're going to do more than that. Some of you, we're going to have a conference call tonight. And if you'd like to be part of it, email me or text me. Say, Coach, I want to be part of it. And Glenn, you capture those names. You want to be part of it. So, hey, we're making progress here, folks. We're making progress. All right. Frank LaRose said lawmakers should consider eliminating ballot drop boxes. Oh, yeah. Okay. So another big thing. Here's going on. You mark it down as you heard it here first. You ready? You sitting down? You heard it here first. Kamala Harris will not be the presidential candidate. She's not going to make it 3 months. She's going to get COVID. Something's going to happen. She's going to stumble and fall. She will. I'm telling you here right now today, Kamala Harris will not be the Democrat nominee. Wait a minute. She's still going to be on the ballot, but she ain't going to be the candidate. And it's going to throw chaos into the midst of election. And that's what they want. Right? Something's going to happen, COVID, whatever it is, and all about October 2nd, they're going to say, oh, my goodness, she can't run for president, but she's on all the ballots, and it's only way for us to be fair. We got to get somebody else on the ballot. So we're going to suspend it. Somebody said, Joe Willie said, nobody said that. I said that. I said it. I didn't pick that up off anybody else. I said that. That's going to happen, friends. They cannot win with that cackler. They certainly know it. They cannot win with her. And they're lying, doing everything they can to make the polls look close so they can cheat at the end. They've even come to the realization they can't cheat that much. Okay, Mark, here first. Okay, second, third. How about this one? Praise the Lord. It says Eva. Pull that one up there. Eva. Glenn Beck. Yesterday, interviewed Eva, the 86-year-old pro-lifer. He interviewed her. Let's watch a couple minutes of that. Kick it to about the 2-minute mark and just start it. What a sweetheart she is. Glenn Beck, can you imagine? Woo! Can somebody tell me if this was a black 87-year-old woman who got got discriminated. Can you imagine what would be going on in the culture? And here's this 87-year-old Holocaust survivor. By the way, sorry. Who's the Jewish mafia? How come they're not helping this Holocaust survivor? Huh? Where are they? I'll get to that in a minute. Go ahead and play just a little bit of this.
After a miraculous reunion with her mom and siblings, Eva was able to escape to Austria. She spent 8 years in a refugee camp before immigrating to the United States. When abortion was legalized in 1973, she saw the similarities between the legalization of abortion and the legalization of extermination of her ethnic group. Since then, she has been tirelessly trying to save preborn babies from being aborted. She is now 89 years old. She was arrested by this DOJ and charged with crimes against the FACE Act. She was found guilty for peacefully standing and asking women to not do it. She has been sentenced, or she's going to be sentenced September 26th. She is facing 10 years in a prison. She is a little nervous about coming on. She shouldn't be. She's in a very friendly place. Eva Edel, welcome to the Glenn Beck program. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you.
I've been looking forward to talking to you since I first read this story.
Well, hey, folks.
What? What are you?
Do you understand the conflict this gives to the left? You understand? A Holocaust survivor. A protected class. Shouldn't they be jumping all in on this? Go ahead.
What are your thoughts about what has happened to you in the past and what is happening now?
Well, there is really no difference. You know, I've heard it said, our natural mind can justify anything our evil hearts want to do. During World War II, as we all know, the Nazis justified the extermination of Jews and Gypsies and Slavs and other people simply by using the phrases that they're not quite human yet, according Correct. To evolutionary theory. Well, then at the end of the war, when the communists came in, they decided to just say, because you are of an ethnic background of a certain people group, your blood is already evil. So even if you're a newborn baby, you are evil in itself and you have to be exterminated. And that was their excuse. But I think the main reason for all of it was greed, because now everybody had our fields and our factories given to them because they were communists. That was promised to them. And Nazi Germany, they had other reasons, I suppose.
Okay, put this in the chat. Right now, this is really worth taking the time to listen to Eva's testimony. My wife keeps pounding on me because she said, have you had Eva on yet? Have you had Eva on yet? I know Eva. We know Eva. We know her. 87-year-old Holocaust survivor facing 10 years in jail for trying to rescue unborn children. Do you see the conflict that this causes for the left? Oh, you know, huh? Do you understand how much mileage they've made off of the Holocaust survivor? You have any idea the mileage the left has made off of the victimization of Jews? I'm not making fun of Jews. Stop it. The victimization of it. Any idea how much mileage? And here she comes and says, yeah, they're doing the same thing to the babies. They're doing the exact same thing to the babies. Shh. It's a powerful, powerful message. God bless Glenn Beck for having the courage to stick her on there. I bet he's getting barked at here today. So put that in the chat. Folks, listen, it's worth your time. Okay, it's worth your time. And that might be something that you want to, well, whatever. Okay, I'm going to show you something else here. Oh, Lord Jesus, do I have to go there? Yeah, I'm going to go there. Okay, let's go here. Let's go to number five. I want to talk to you today about cultural Marxism. This is what we're fighting against. The church still has not, just put it right there a second, Spence. Until you realize the battle. Doesn't know what Marxism is? So they tried Marxism, which is communism. They tried it economically. In America, they tried to, what was the slogan of communism? From the rich, according to whatever. Somebody repeat that for me. What's the mantra of communism? From each, according to his, come on, somebody help me.
From each, according to his ability, to each, according to his need.
Thank you, Mark. From each, according to his ability, to each, according to his need. They tried that economically, and it worked to a point, but we ain't buying it. We ain't buying it, right? The welfare system, we didn't buy it all the way. In fact, they could not change America that way. So they called it cultural Marxism, from where we get the cultural war. And they radically transformed America through cultural Marxism. Put this at 1.5 speed, folks, and this is going to explain to you cultural Marxism. And let me say it to you real quickly. It is nothing more than creating a victim class. A victim class. Class and making them a minority and criticizing the rest of us for trampling on that minority. That is cultural Marxism. Marxism using the culture. Now, hang on. Is it just me? Does the church want to change the culture? No. So we have one group that wants to change the culture and the other group that can't wait to get out of here. And we wonder whose doctrine is being advanced. So I'm going to play this a little fast, 1.5 speed, but it's a great example of cultural Marxism and what it is we're all dealing with every day. By the way, it started in the 60s. Tune in, turn on, drop out, Timothy Leary. They created a victim class. It's a pretty good short video. Go ahead.
Let us begin with a very terse description. Cultural Marxism is a broad term which refers to the advocacy and application of critical theory, and more generally to the cultural, political, and academic influence of certain elements within the contemporary left. The roots of cultural Marxism are to be found in what is commonly known as the Frankfurt School.
Slow down. The term arose informally to slow down. Put it 1.25.
Describe the thinkers affiliated or merely associated with the Frankfurt Institute for Social Research at the Goethe University in Frankfurt, Germany during the interwar period. Critical of both capitalism and Soviet socialism, they sought to address the perceived shortcomings of classical Marxism in the pursuit of societal change. Their work came to be referred to as critical theory. Defining or categorizing critical theory is exceptionally difficult, for it pertains to a broad, almost disparate set of ideas, individuals, and approaches. The underlying and enduring aspect of critical theory, common to all its offshoots, nonetheless, is the creation of interdisciplinary theories that might serve as instruments of social transformation. During the 1960s, the Frankfurt School critical theory gained traction with some segments of the left wing and leftist thought in both Europe and North America. Today, its influence is felt throughout Western academia, dominating the social sciences and humanities. Gender studies and whiteness studies being two such examples. One of the most influential critical theorists and an original member of the Frankfurt School was Herbert Marcuse. A cursory glance at any paragraph written by Marcuse will set alarm bells ringing for anyone even remotely familiar with the current culture of intolerance on college and university campuses. Consider the following passage from his 1965 essay, Repressive Tolerance.
1965.
The small and powerless minorities which struggle against the forced consciousness and its beneficiaries must be helped. Their continued existence is more important than the preservation of abused rights and liberties, which grant constitutional powers to those who oppress these minorities.
Stop that.
Social justice.
Stop. Hang on. So they created victims. Do you understand? Cultural Marxism creates victims. Haves and have-nots. See, they couldn't do it economically. They couldn't do it that way. So they had to create minorities being oppressed. Go ahead.
To those who oppress these minorities. Social justice, feminism, neo-progressivism, and post-colonialism, to name but a few, are all movements inspired by or born out of critical theory, and thus all come under the umbrella of cultural Marxism. Be it gender, sexual orientation, family, race, culture, or religion, every aspect of a person's identity is to be questioned, every norm or standard in society challenged, and ideally altered in order to benefit supposedly oppressed groups. Classical Marxism saw class conflict as occurring between the bourgeoisie and the proletariat, between
rich
the haves
and
the have-nots. Cultural Marxism views such a conflict as existing between the oppressed and the oppressors, between those with privilege and those without it. The working class has been replaced by minorities.
Stop.
Majority groups.
Stop. That is, folks, that is so important. When I was growing up, my dad was part of the union. Why? Because they were the working class being oppressed by the big corporations, right? Well, they made some progress with that, but they didn't make enough progress. So they had to go deeper than that and go into create minorities. Go ahead.
Minorities. Majority groups are typically defined as privileged and oppressive, with minority groups accordingly labeled underprivileged and oppressed. Heterosexuals are oppressive. Cisgender people are oppressive. Whites are oppressive, especially white men. Christians are oppressive. Those that do not fit into these groups are thus considered oppressed. It stands to reason, therefore, that if heterosexuals are oppressors, the solution is to encourage other forms of sexuality. If whites are oppressors, the solution is racial diversity. If cisgender people are oppressors, the solution is to encourage transgenderism. If Christians are oppressors, the solution is to propagate Islam. Theodor Adorno, another original member of the Frankfurt School, wrote a book entitled The Authoritarian Personality, in which he defines parenthood, pride in one's family, Christianity, adherence to traditional gender roles and attitudes towards sex, and the love of one's own country as pathological phenomena. This tendency to pathologize opinions and life patterns, which are not in accordance with its own political ends, is characteristic of cultural Marxism. Differing views are thus described as irrational fears or phobias. For example, a person who feels uncomfortable living as a minority in an area dominated by Muslim migrants may be decried as an Islamophobe, since wishing to live amongst those culturally and ethnically similar to oneself is considered sick and phobic. When Pakistani Muslims living in Britain, by contrast, show in-group preference, converting entire sections of a town or city into a mini Pakistan, there is no sickness, no phobia, only multiculturalism.
20 years ago, there were no Pakistan, no one was doing nothing. But now, the Pakistan were stamped, man, trust me, you know what I mean? That thing 20 years ahead, boy, fuck knows, man, this is going to be Pakistan. Or England, it's going to be Pakistan, man. They're all fucking shipping over.
A popular and propagandist manifestation of cultural Marxism is political correctness, in which media channels and social scientists make it a mandatory exercise to do the following. Question common language. Illegal immigrants, for example, are to be referred to as undocumented migrants, while ethnic discrimination is referred to as affirmative action. Their ambition to define and redefine words can be seen as a means of controlling the discourse and altering cultural norms. Racism and sexism have been redefined as a product of prejudice plus power, which leads to such ridiculous statements as there's no such thing as sexism against men, and
I, an ethnic minority woman, cannot be racist or sexist towards white men,
maintain an unwaveringly favourable view of groups which are marked as being oppressed. Islam is a religion of peace. Black Lives Matter is a peaceful, legitimate protest movement. Feminism is only about equality, and so forth. No deviation from the aforementioned narrative will be entertained, ever, nor will criticism. While communism, as Marx envisioned it, offered the resolution of class conflict in a utopian social system, all that cultural Marxism offers is a desolate form of eternal warfare between ever more narrowly defined groups of offended minorities. The only meaningful consequence that its wide application could possibly ever have is the marginalization of traditional European culture.
There it is. You've heard it here before. The battle is over the white Christian Protestant man. There it is. There it is. And that's what we see going on all around us. And they were able to bring about social change, cultural change through minority oppression, pointing out minority oppression. Think of our culture and our society. Could Archie Bunker make it on TV today? Could Fred Sanford make it on TV today? Huh? No way, right? No way. Why? Because it's offensive, and that's the greatest sin that you could ever have. Jack, come on in.
Yeah. Hal Shurtleff's 10 questions on the Constitution that he uses at all the fairs has the Marxist quote in it, and 75% of people think it's in the Constitution. That's where we are.
Yep, that's right. They think separation between the church and state is in the Constitution. It's not in there, folks. It's not in there. Now, see, this is not. I didn't watch it, but I saw clips of, of the interview with Kamala the other day. Did anybody watch that? The staged interview she did. And you know what? I just watched some clips of it. And as I'm watching it, you know what question I ask? Anybody want to know what question I ask? Here's the question I ask. Pardon me. Who the hell's Dana Bash?
Boom.
What did she get? Who the hell is she that she gets to ask those questions? Who put her in that position? You think that she just made it to the top because she was just such a great journalist? What's that? Don Lemon. Who put him in there? How did he get up there? How do these people who are taught, folks, if we don't see what's going on and understand that they have an agenda and it ain't the news? Randy.
Well, Coach, all of this is for nothing if you don't have, if the church does not understand who they are. They just look at this, what you brought this morning, and they just say, well, it doesn't matter. See, all of this information, all the knowledge, all the truth that we can get, it means nothing if your theology doesn't tell you that the earth's worth fighting for, the kingdom of God's worth fighting for.
Amen.
And they'll never advance it because it's, you know, we have to change the thinking of the church if we ever want to see them fight back. And I don't know when that's going to happen. Hopefully it will one day. But all of the information you can give us, if we don't see the church as God's purpose to advance the kingdom on the earth, we will not do hardly anything. So we have to change the mind. We have to change the minds.
That's right. And we have to understand that those who are in the media are, Psalm 2, kings of this earth, setting themselves against the Lord and against his anointed. They are at the heart anti-Christian, anti-Christian, anti-Christian. Our media is anti-Christian. And then, until we understand what this battle is, see, folks, they want cultural Marxism because they want to make Christianity look what? Judgmental, hateful, bigoted. They want Christ out of the picture, baby. Get him out of the picture. They couldn't do it economically, so they went to culture. And what does your pastor tell you? We're not supposed to be involved in culture. Okay, I'm going to run a risk here. Is it okay if I do that? Because yesterday, what did you guys think? Hang on. Anybody have any comments yesterday on Sherman's March to the Sea? What an animal Sherman was. What an animal Phil Sheridan was. They named a school after him. Anybody have a comment on any of that? Is it okay to point out who those guys were? Beth, come on in, Beth.
I was telling my sister about the show. And for those that don't know, my sister was adopted. When she was younger, she actually got to meet someone who had a story about Sherman. And she could verify all of it, that is exactly how it happened.
And we turned Sherman into a hero, named schools after him, right? He wasn't a white supremacist. He was a union supremacist? What would you call Sherman? As he marched to the sea and killed and raped and pillaged innocent white human beings, we make him a hero. Today, schools named after Sherman. Sheridan High School, Phil Sheridan. Raped and plundered. Am I making you nervous if I talk about? I'm going somewhere. You better be careful. You better be careful. I'm taking you somewhere.
Terrorist. He's a terrorist.
Well, he was a terrorist. I mean, they clearly were terrorists, were they not? Killing and raping innocent women and children. Just marched to the sea. The night they tore old Dixie down. You remember that? What was that about? It was Sherman burning down Atlanta and all the people in Atlanta. Did the people in Atlanta, did they deserve that? No, nothing changes. It's always the powerful fighting the powerful, and they make you pick sides. That's what it always is. Pick a team, good and evil. Pick a team. Hang on, I'm going so you... You may want to turn off. So our history is lying. God bless America. And the Union was union. The forced, you understand, the South wanted to get away from Northern aggression. The South didn't want a civil war. They just wanted the Ohioans and the Union quit telling them what they had to do. And they lied to us and told us the fight was over slavery. And it wasn't over slavery. Tennessee wasn't a slave state. But at the end, we know this, the winners write the history. So Abraham Lincoln's a hero. My. Sherman's a Phil Sheridan. They're heroes. Glenn.
Well, it didn't end with the Civil War. The Union continued to subjugate the South during Reconstruction
right.
for like a 10-year period. right. You know,
Glenn, the people, they were, Glenn, they were subjugating the people, not the government, the people.
No, that's right. But the thing of it is, you have to read, you know, these, you know, to the victors, you know, they write the history, you know, and so you don't read anything about this in your history books, you know, in high school. And so you really don't know what the Union did. But if you read some books, just read Truth and History, the recent edition of Truth and History by Charles Jennings. You'll learn a lot right there.
That's right.
It's all devoted to the Civil War and the Lincoln administration.
Amen. And at the folks, they'll never forget it. At the end of the day, it's all about power, control, and money. It's always about power, control, and money. Remember this: love of money is the root of all evil. Can I? Somebody give me some permission to give you some more truth today. And if you leave and don't ever come back, that's okay. Can I do that? Just demo one person.
Go for it. Come on.
Okay, good. Okay. Well, so pull up for me. Maybe I shouldn't do that. Maybe I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't do it. Pull up number 2. Sorry, I got to go there. Sorry. Are Palestinians human? Is what's going on in Israel nothing more than a replay of Sherman's March to the Sea? Oh, this makes us nervous.
Boom.
This makes us nervous. He said, you never see the dehumanization of Palestinians in Western society exhibited so clearly as when something bad happens to Israelis during the genocidal assault on Gaza. Go clear on down. There's a picture at the bottom of it. Go on down there. I don't know if you guys know this. Keep going. Right there. Look, hey, folks, screw up a little bit. Israel kills more Palestinians in Gaza. Recorded death toll passes 40,700. Can I say it, Glenn? 40,700 innocent people, many of them Christians. By the way, so Sherman did too. He killed many, many Christians. Sherman did. Scroll on down. It's a picture of what's going on, pal. Those are, huh? Okay, look, go back up. I'm sorry. The message is clear. Are you ready? Message is clear. Israelis dying is a terrible tragedy. While Palestinians dying, well, it's kind of what happens, you know. An Israeli dying should matter as much to you as your own family or friends dying. While a Palestinian dying should be regarded as a routine and natural event like the dropping of rain from the sky. And that's an important message for Westerners to be indoctrinated with. Can you imagine if we all started caring about Western bombs being dropped in the Middle East as much as we cared if they dropped it over the hill and killed my family? Are there a carefully manufactured consent would crumble and the people would cease allowing the Western Empire to do what it needs to do to dominate the planet? Hey, Chad, I remember you saying something. Nobody cares about mailboxes till it's their mailbox, and nobody cares about bombs being dropped on other people till it's people they love.
Boom.
Oh, that's a boom. It's a boom. You got to know this. All of this going on with the approval of the American church. Somebody say boom. Somebody say boom for me. Boom, Vinny.
Boom.
All of it being done, killing innocent Palestinians, women and children, with the approval of the American church. In fact, the American church is funding it because they believe, you know what they believe, right? Nobody will say this.
Nobody, the great delusion. The great delusion, Coach.
Nobody will say it. Israel is killing innocent. Folks, I don't even know. We're talking about two governments at war. Two governments at war. I get that, right? Would you say that America right now, excuse me, it's two governments at war? Is that what's going on? the powerful elite and the people? Is there a war going on? And you know how the history is going to be written? Whichever one wins is going to be the hero. They'll be the hero. And you know what's going on right now? They're telling you right now that those guys locked up in J6, they deserved it, baby. They deserved it. And what's the church doing? Nothing new under the sun. Nothing new under the sun, boys, girls. Good versus evil. Christ against the devil. And I'm telling you right now, the propaganda arm of the devil is what's destroying America. Propaganda arm of the devil. Somebody right now, I'll give you a chance. Name for me a full-blown Christian news broadcaster. I'm listening.
Anita Padilla.
Who?
Anita Padilla.
Who's she?
She was with Fox for 25 years, and she left there, and she was a Christian.
Okay, so she isn't there anymore.
No, she just now she's working for Florida. She's the news director for Florida News. So now she's
okay,
in Florida.
Okay, so they've given her. She got a little job like I have. She had a little job here, like right. I'm impacting a little bit. They ain't gonna put her out there in front, huh?
Yeah, no, she was a street reporter. She was a street reporter, okay, and a speaker at Fox.
I got you. Is Sean Hannity up there blowing the horn on Christian values? And is Sean Hannity doing that? Bill O'Reilly? Where are these guys, huh? Where are they? See, we don't understand. It's a captured operation. And I'm going to say it again. The most discriminated group in America today is the white Christian male. Prove me wrong.
Boom.
Prove me wrong. The white Christian male. Why? Because cultural Marxism told us we deserve it. We are the oppressors. And by the way, those Christians in Palestine, they're just getting what they deserve because they're just like those Christians in Ohio. Come on, man. Awfully silent out there today. Awfully silent. In the American church, sorry, get into the end time theology and the importance of Israel. That's not what I'm talking about. Is Israel so important that we look the other way as they kill innocent Christians in Palestine? Sherman's marched to the sea. Netanyahu's marched to wherever. Where's he marching to? So if they got a problem with the government, well, then go kill the governmental leaders. Why are they killing the innocent people? With our blessing. Well, making enemies today, I feel like. Come on in, Jack.
Well, this is a tough one. We got
Hey, Jack, I just shut the door on any pulpit invites I ever had. Go ahead.
You're done. You're done, buddy. Okay, so the Christians put Israel in charge in Jerusalem in 1948. They also put the Palestinians, the Hamas people, in Palestine. So which Christians are which Christians are killing which Christians are setting up which Christians to get killed? Wow, we got a real problem here, buddy.
We got a real problem. Hey, do me a favor, Spencer, pull up that same article. Well, I'm taking a risk today. Huh? On that same article we just had up there with the picture. Go to the bottom of that.
Hey, Coach, one more thing. They needed a start date. They needed a start date to the end times so they could make money off that.
Uh-huh. So I'm going to read what this says right here. Go back up a little bit, Spence. The message is clear. Folks, do you want to speak the truth or not? You want me to take the company line? Israelis dying is a terrible tragedy. While Palestinians dying is, well, that's just the way it is. An Israeli dying should matter as much to you as your own family or friends dying, they tell you. While Palestinian dying should be regarded as, it just kind of happens. And that's an important message for Westerners to be indoctrinated with. Can you imagine if we all started caring about Western bombs being dropped in the Middle East as much as we would care if they were being dropped on our own country or on a country we've been conditioned to sympathize with? All their carefully manufactured consent would crumble, and people would cease allowing the Western Empire to do what it needs to do to dominate the planet. Oh, this is too close to home. These people are actively working to subvert our basic sense of human empathy, to twist our psyches into being unable to recognize the same level of humanity among the empire-targeted populations as the empire-supported ones. Yes, the death of a Jew is a tragedy. The death of the Palestinian, not so much. What if they're Christian? To see authorized populations as worthy of care and sympathy, and to see unauthorized populations as vermin in need of extermination. Yes, folks, our rulers really are that evil. And so are the propagandists who run the mass media today. So today I would like to extend my deepest condolences to the millions of Palestinian Christians who've lost loved ones and had their lives thrown to the wind of the chaos by Israel's Western-backed campaign of extermination, ethnic cleansing, and terrorism. Jeff, come on in.
Coach, it makes it kind of simple. Yes, what's going on, what you're talking about, the Christians are all controlled by money, and the Christians are all drawing their swords against each other.
That's amazing.
There you go. It's simple. Yeah,
that's right. And all of them are afraid of the government. All the Christians are afraid of the government. Yeah. Folks, look, are you looking at me? Is it okay to... indiscriminately bomb Christians in Palestine? We're doing it. We're giving them the bombs. Where's the cultural Marxists? Where are they? Randy.
Yeah, Coach, can we put up Acts 17:26? Acts 17:26.
Hey, hang on, Randy. Hey, Randy.
Yes, sir.
I got to say this. I'm not anti-Semitic.
Me neither. Not one bit, Coach.
Okay, good.
Me, I'm not. I love all races, all peoples, and this is what this verse is about. But, Coach, can I say one thing before we read this? You know, I don't know. I'm ashamed I was ever a dispensational believer, because I would be endorsing this right now if I were. But I'm not, thank God. But, Coach, you know, Judaism... Okay, let me say this. Islam, look, at least they say Jesus was a prophet, okay? They don't agree with him. They think Muhammad outdid him. And Islam's wrong. It's evil. I understand that. I'm not condoning anything about it. But at least they recognize, they say Jesus Christ did come to the earth. He did come in history, and he was a prophet. Judaism has him boiling in excrement, which is
the Kabbalah. Yep.
And he is cursed, and he is, you know, they hate him with a vengeance. So tell me, Coach, if I didn't know anything and I had to look at each one of those religions, they're not neither one godly, which one hates him the worst? It's not hard to see, Coach. Go ahead. But read that, Coach. Let me then tell me that God hasn't made the board equal all across the earth.
What do you
There's
want me to
no
read, Randy?
Special people.
What do you want me to read?
26.
And I'm going to start in 24.
Okay.
God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, doesn't dwell in temples made with hands. Neither is God worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life, breath, and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they may feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move in our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are his offspring. And for as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is unlike gold or silver or stone, graven by man's device. In the times of his ignorance, God winked, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. All men everywhere to repent.
Coach, so Coach, that same Luke, the writer, quoting Paul right there, Paul says, Romans 2:29, there is neither no more Jew or Gentile.
None. So it says.
And the only way, the circumcision avails nothing. Religions, feasts, none of that avails nothing. Ethnicity,
Randy,
blood, you
Randy,
have to
listen,
come to
listen,
Christ.
Randy, listen. There are those listening right now who have anti-Semitism stuck in their ears. I'm just telling you, brother. Randy, you don't hate the Jews, do you? Hate the Jews? I don't hate Muslims. If it was a religion I was going to hate, it'd be Muslims. I hate the Muslim religion. I don't hate Muslims. Huh? I hate the Chinese government. I don't hate Chinese people. My brother married a Chinese girl. Can I not criticize the government without it making a personal assault on the individual? The Israeli government is as wicked as the American government. Does anybody want to disagree with that?
Amen.
The government, not the people. Hey, I'm going to feel better. I got it off of my chest. I got it off of my chest. 100 years from now, they're going to be writing about what Christian America allowed to happen to innocent Christians in Palestine. That's, hey, folks, that's swimming upstream, isn't it? Coach Dave swimming upstream? That'd be like they're destroying my neighbor's property, and in the process, they get me too. I'm collateral damage. Oh, sorry, Coach Dave. Sorry to have to, but we got to get those wicked people over there. Oh, we still love all you. Well, we still love all of you. By the way, we're buying bombs for them to come and blow you up, by the way. Whew, boy, this is deep. It's deep. I told you the truth. Don't get mad at me. Jeff?
Coach, you see the latest where, you know how they make us, if you deposit $10,000 or more in a bank, you got to fill out the paperwork, all it, just tracking everything we do. Do you see where now they've really got on to this? Just come out this morning on Newsmax early, or last night. The Democratic Party and all the hundreds of millions they've raised, all done through credit cards with the three-digit number on the back of the cards. They can't track none of it. Saying it's probably coming in from other countries, all over the place. So they might bust that wide open, but that's what they're doing.
Hey, friends, you better hear me, and you better hear me clearly. They hate Christ. Oh, they hate Christ. You say, who? That other team. And everybody that plays on that other team, they hate your Savior. Kevin?
The Next News Network is breaking a story about Obama and Biden and Brenner were directly behind a huge lie about assassination of Osama bin Laden. And there's actual evidence coming out about that.
Well, tomorrow, Ivan Raiklin's dropping the mother of all Twitter bombs, naming names tomorrow. By the way, I'm about out of time. What if Kamala can't make it? And all of them agree, well, let's put Obama back in there for a while. While we get this whole thing out, figured out. Let's have Obama come back and be our president to get us through this rough time.
See you tomorrow.